Turn in your Bibles, if you would, today to Matthew chapter 6. We're in the Sermon on the Mountain, one of the classic passages of Christianity with the Lord's Prayer in it. I've had some strange dreams the last two or three nights, and it didn't occur to me this morning. It was this morning when I finally really remembered what I had been dreaming. A friend of mine who was 10 years older than me and was one of the people who discipled me in my youth passed away last week. And for some reason, I was at a youth event flipping pancakes with him and talking with him about this message here this morning, and got up and realized he wasn't going to help me at all with it. But he's in glory now. There are a number of people. Probably, I would say there were four men who really influenced me in my life, and I'm not sure I recognized it at the time, but as I get older, two of them are still alive, and two of them have passed on. The two that passed on were about 10 years older than me, and both died from the same disease, actually. But they changed my life, and I was trying to draw a thread from all those guys, why it was that they affected me and what they did for me. And they're all very, very honest people. They're honest and they're quite extraordinary people who all paid a great price for not putting up with religious hypocrisy. They were people who could have been really famous and probably very wealthy if they had wanted to be. They were that clever and that skilled. But they chose to do what God called them to do. And that made the difference. And they did pay a price for it. Just like Jesus, who's speaking to us from this passage today, he paid a great price because he pushed back at the status quo of that day, and he pushed back at the reigning opinion, and he did not tolerate. He stuck his finger in the eye of those who were hypocrites, and especially religious hypocrites. In order to be in the status quo and stay in the status quo, you have to do a little acting once in a while. And acting is exactly what hypocrisy is. In fact, the Greek word hypokrites means an actor, someone who puts on a role, who dresses up for something whether they believe it or not. And so other people's opinion is very important to us. We have a balance to make. We can't just go around telling everybody what we think of them all the time, can we? Well, we can, but it doesn't get us very far in life. We don't get very much out of life. We get by ourselves in a corner somewhere fairly quickly. But we can obsess about it. We can become totally addicted to other people's opinions, whether it's through politics, popular culture, entertainment, whatever it is. And success means that if you're succeeding at something, you have to keep succeeding, right? The show must go on, whether we're having a bad day or a bad week or whatever. And that's the place where we begin to say things that we don't actually believe. We begin to put on faces that don't reflect what's in our heart at all. So let me back up and ask us a question. What does God care about? I think he cares a lot about a lot of very important things that we study in this book. Let me ask a harder question. What are things that God doesn't care about? And the follow-on, the hardest question of all, is if God doesn't care about something, should we care about it? Or do we have the right to care about something that God isn't worried about? Or if we're worried about something he's not worried about, are we wasting his time? Are we not paying attention to him? What if the thing he doesn't care about is the thing that's making us successful? What if he doesn't care about us succeeding in the way that we want to succeed? And so Jesus is getting at these questions here. He's telling his disciples that a real life that may not be successful in the world's eyes, a real life is fine with God as long as we're paying attention to the things that he cares about. So in the last verse of chapter 5, and these chapter divisions are just artificial ones that we put in the text later, Jesus ends chapter 5 by saying, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's a pretty high bar, isn't it? Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And then he goes right into saying, be careful, be careful. Be very careful not to just look perfect, but to be perfect. There's a big difference. So let's go to our text now. Let's read the first 18 verses. I'm going to read for us out of chapter 6. And Jesus talks about three spiritual practices that we engage in as followers of Jesus. Talks about giving, like giving of alms and giving charity. He talks about praying, and he talks about fasting. So right after he says, be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect, he says, beware of practicing your righteousness or doing righteousness before others in order to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you do righteousness or give alms or give charity, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, the actors do, in the synagogues and on the streets, so that they may be glorified by men. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full. They got what they wanted. But when you do charity, righteousness, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Now, that's a little bit of hyperbole, like last week when he said, gouge your eye out. He didn't really mean that. I don't think you can do anything with one hand without the other one knowing what it's doing. But he's making a point. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms, your giving, your charity, your righteousness may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, shall reward you. Well, let's take it to the arena of praying. He brings the same principles, you'll notice. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they already have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret shall reward you. And when you are praying, do not babble on and on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And if you do this, you will be like them. Do not be like them, because they completely misunderstand. Do not be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He's God. Therefore, pray in this way: Our Father in heaven, sanctified or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's the whole prayer right there. And he goes on, for if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Another high bar. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your transgressions. And then he goes on to talk about fasting. And whenever you fast, do not become sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they neglect their faces to make their fasting evident to men. But truly I tell you, they have their reward in full. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that your fasting won't be evident to men, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Amen. God's word. And so I want to look at three of the strands that go down through all of these three spiritual practices. I don't want this to be a practicum on how to pray and how to fast and how to give money away. I want to look at the things he was saying specifically about God. And so I think it comes to the question of why pursue God approval. This is about people approval versus God approval. It comes to that. And the problem is, we really can't get both. That's the problem. And we have to choose. So why choose God approval? Well, I want to just point out again three things that Jesus said consistently through all three of these things. That if you seek people approval, that's all you're going to get. So if you want more than that, if you want to be with God forever, you can't go for the easy self-gratification. People who say things that they don't believe are hypocrites. They don't believe what they're saying. They don't believe. And when it is done in the name of God, it's even worse. And we have a harder time appreciating it as people. When someone uses the name of God in vain, as it were, saying that God wants this or God does this, but in fact he does nothing the same. And so all the words that come out of things eliciting people approval so that your poll numbers will rise, so that you'll get more money, you'll get more votes, you'll get more something or other, are all self-referenced. You may point to God and say, God wants this, but if you know what God's about, you know that that's not true. That's not something God cares about at all. You're saying it to get a following. If I am following my natures and my desires, then I am seeking people approval. The world says, if you got it, flaunt it. And so the world does. The world asks, what are you saving it for? Get out there. Get your name known. Make a little money. And this applies directly to the church. The church has Christianity. In this country, has a multi-billion dollar industry connected to it, with all manner of books and music and conferences and this and that. And so this hypocrisy is not particular to Judaism. And it gets wrongly tagged that way. These were Jewish people talking to other Jewish people about Jewish people. It wasn't about Judaism. It's about being human. It's about acting religiously for your own personal gain. And it's certainly not specific only to these people. We have a new religion in our world. It's called science. And now we have, and I'm a big fan of science. I hope they collect all kinds of data and learn all kinds of things. Our lives are better because of that. But now we have people engaging in what they call scientism. I'm a scientist, you know. And you have to believe me. And you need to give me trillions of dollars or else the world's going to end in a decade. That's hypocrisy. That's lying. And if you keep saying that to young and young enough kids, they start to believe it. And that's where we are. We humans are very subject to our own self-delusion. We start believing our own lies if we keep lying long enough. That's the problem with being a hypocrite. It finally overcomes you yourself. But no, God's word has been talking about this long before Jesus. In the prophet Isaiah, God is being very cynical, kind of skeptical with his own people. And he says to them in Isaiah chapter 58, he says, you ask me, oh, why have we fasted? And yet, Lord, you don't see us fasting. Why have we afflicted our souls? That is to say, we've stopped eating and we're suffering now. And you have taken no notice. Behold, God says, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and exploit all of your workers. So you say, I want God to notice me and love me and honor me because I stayed out of the refrigerator today. And yet he says there are people working for you who don't have anything in their refrigerator. He says that's hypocrisy and I don't want to hear it from you. He goes on, is this the fast I have chosen? That you stay out of your fridge while your worker has nothing in his fridge? A day for one to afflict his soul? A religious show? Is it to bow down your head like a reed and spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this fast a day acceptable to the Lord? This is the fast I choose, says the Lord. Share your bread with the hungry. Bring the homeless poor into your house. Ooh, he's getting kind of close to home there. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up speedily. Your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be like your rear guard. He will take care of you. And so that is planted right in the Bible that Jesus is using and teaching from. In the world of Judaism, secret giving and charity was a big part of the temple practice. The Mishnah, written about 200 AD, to kind of capture the oral traditions of the rabbis, says that there was a room in the chambers along the side of the temple where you could go in secret and make a donation in secret. And if you had a need, you could go there in secret and receive help in secret. Later on in the Talmud, it says, a man who gives charity in secret is greater than Moses, our teacher. So these things that Jesus is saying were very much part of what God intended through the law and the prophets, you see. And concerning prayer, one of the apocryphal books that's written, it's a Jewish injunction. Do not prattle on in the assembly of the elders, nor repeat yourself in prayer. This wasn't a strange idea to them. They knew this. Jesus is talking about the temptation that all of us fall into. Oh, they love me. I'm just going to go out there and put on the show. It's a battle against ourselves. It's a battle against our sin nature. Do you need immediate gratification for everything in your life? Do you need a payoff from everything you do? Do you just think of things as a waste of time if there's no profit from every move you make all day long? If you're getting a profit from everything you do, every show you make, then God says, so you've been paid. You got what you want. I hope you're happy. I hope you enjoy it because that's all you're getting. You're not getting any help from me. You don't need me. You got you. You love you. People approval. It's like a drug addiction. Some of us just can't stop. God wants us to stop. So why seek God approval? Well, because it's all you're going to get, for one thing. The next thing is that your Father knows your secrets. And that's something he mentions with all three of those spiritual disciplines. Do you have a relationship with the Lord your God that nobody else knows about? A relationship in secret. You see, public prayer is not wrong or bad. The prayer he just gave us is a public prayer. It's not my Father. It's not Daddy, Abba. It's our Father, Avinu. It's for us to pray together. Yes, it's a public prayer. But the question is, do you believe when you pray that prayer? So fasting, praying, giving, these are all spiritual disciplines. And Jesus is saying, do them right, do them well, and do them out of sight. And then when you come into public and worship together, it will be as if these things are flowing out of your life because they originated in the secret place with your Heavenly Father, in that relationship that nobody else is privy to but you and the Lord your God. That place where you speak to your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Well, the book of Ecclesiastes reminds us, again from the Old Testament, about this relationship. Do not, it says, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, do not be quick with your mouth, nor hasty in your heart, to utter a word in God's presence. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. A dream comes with excessive burdens, and so a fool's voice with too many words. When you swear a vow to God, don't delay in fulfilling it. For he takes no delight in fools. Pay what you vow. It's better for you not to vow than to vow and not pay. That is to say, to put on a show. And that's exactly what Jesus said in chapter 5. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. The best remedy for hypocrisy, if you struggle with that, have a secret prayer life. Believe this stuff. And then your public prayers will flow out of your real relationship with God. And so this Lord's Prayer, it's a guideline. He did say, this is how you pray. He didn't say, this is what you pray. And so we take those things into consideration when we pray. Your Father knows your secrets. And finally this, your Father rewards with real value. We ask God in that prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, that's easy to say, but if you think about that, do you really want that? Do you really want God's values all around you? That might cut into some of our lifestyles. He might say to us, you have everything you need, Leon. Why do you spend so much time pursuing what you want? Since I give you what you need, why don't you pursue what I want? Since you are my child and I have saved you? That's a good question. What if God doesn't care about some of the things I want or you want? What about your plan to retire by such and such an age? Do you want God's real values? It's easy to say yes, but you have to, you know, you have to make a living. You have to survive. Yes. And God says, you do the right thing, I'll provide what you need. But do you really need truth in your life? Do you need love in your life? Those are eternal things. Those are real values. Will you set things that are of less than eternal value aside for truth and love? Will you slacken your pursuit of wealth, popularity, fame, whatever it is that eats at you? Will you set that aside to pursue truth, the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? Will you pursue love over and above just being right about everything? When you do that, when you seek God's real value things, you'll find that it makes everything else that you have to do worthwhile. It makes your work worthwhile. It makes your family life worthwhile, even if they drive you crazy, even if work drives you crazy. Secret relationship, do you have it? Do you have real values? Will you choose people approval or will you choose God approval? And what it really looks like is choosing Jesus. When you do that, all the things of earth grow strangely dim, as the hymn says. Will you do that today? Will you say, I want to be perfect like my Heavenly Father. I don't want to be like the actors and the people who say things they don't believe just to go along and get along, just to cooperate and graduate. I want to be the person God has called me to be, whatever the cost. And believe me, there is a cost. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you showed us what it means to pay that cost. You stood up, you spoke truth, you gave up opportunities. The evil one came to you and said, I'll give you everything you want if you will just bow down to me. And you wouldn't do it. You wouldn't give way to the hypocrites ever. And so you changed the world because of that. But you also paid a price. And so you're asking us as your followers to follow you in carrying our cross as well. Be glorified in your servants, Lord. May we find your way. Lord, and if there's someone here today who has never said yes to you, may that be the day today. If you need to know the Lord Jesus, commit to him today. Or if you've committed to him once in your life, but you need to follow him for sure and true and not be part of the status quo, but be part of what God is doing, then you can do that. Reach out in faith today. Say, Lord, I need you. And I commit my life to you from this day forth. I accept your sacrifice applying to my sins. I accept your resurrection as my eternal life as well. And if you will say that to him, he will say to you, welcome home, child. Follow me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, today. Amen.